Welcome to the Carol Reitberger Show, where each week you'll hear a new topic dealing with health and wellness. Carol will be taking your calls and answering your personal questions. And now, here's Carol.
Well, hello, and thank you for joining me today. I'm your host, medical intuitive Carol Reitberger. And the topic today is something that we're hearing a lot about, but we're going to add a little bit of a different approach to it. And the topic is the power of positive thoughts. And with me, I have a very special guest, psychic medium Lauren Rainbow. She's going to be joining me today as she's going to be joining me on an event that's going to be happening April 9th in Andover, Massachusetts. It's going to be Lauren, it's going to be John Holland, and myself. We're going to be doing a full day presentation on finding your way. And Lauren is on that presentation from the standpoint of talking about positive thoughts and meditation and how to be able to keep those positive thoughts moving along. There's a lot of facets to Lauren I'm really anxious to share all of you with, because she's not only a psychic medium, but she's very, very skilled in positive thinking. She's very skilled in meditation. And there's a part that I just can't wait to talk to her about. She is a laughter yoga master. So that should be a lot of fun. I mean, I've never really thought of, you know, doing yoga laughing, but you know, when you think about it in the physical well-being of the body, it moves all the muscles. It makes you breathe when you're holding your breath, when you're stressed. So I think you're going to really enjoy the show. Absolutely delight, full of energy, not afraid to take any of your questions, which leads me to the next thing is that Lauren and I are going to be taking your calls today. So if you have a question for us about positive thinking, or you would like to find out more about how do you connect with the spirit world and how do they connect with us, then Lauren was so gracious to be able to open up and she'll answer any of the questions. So I think it's going to be a very, very exciting show. So if you have a question about all of those topics, and then if you have a question for me as a medical intuitive, you can call us at 877-230-3062. That number is good in the U.S. and Canada. And then also international callers, you can use the same number. All you have to do is just add your international calling code. I would like to, before I start the show, invite you to attend my February free Your Health teleclass that's happening on February 24th at 5 o'clock p.m. Pacific Standard Time. That's 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time. The topic of my February teleclass is an Alzheimer's disease. And it's been a suggestion that many of my listeners from the radio and any of my followers on Facebook and just people who know of my work have been asking me over and over again, Carol, would you do a teleclass on Alzheimer's? Well, while I was starting the process of researching the topic itself, I found some very really impactful, profound statistics. And I want to just share those with you. There are, in every 70 seconds, someone in the United States is being diagnosed with Alzheimer's. That just absolutely blew me away. Over 5.1 million Americans are now experiencing Alzheimer's disease, and more than 20 million baby boomers are expected to develop the disease in the next 10 years. And so what I did is I continued the research. I thought, oh my goodness, we really, really do need to look at this, especially with the baby boomers coming into those later golden years, as they call them. And then also, as boomers, we're experiencing a lot of the situation where our parents are getting older and the needs are really requiring different needs as far as how we can care for them and give them the safety and the security they need. And I even think with my daughter, as myself as a boomer coming into those golden years, is this is something that she hopefully won't have to deal with, but it really is something that we do need to talk about. So again, I'm going to be having a teleclass on it February 24th at 5 o'clock p.m. Pacific Standard Time, 8 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. If you'd like to register for it, it's free. Tell your friends, tell loved ones, tell family. And what you can do is just go to my website, www.ritberger.com, and just click on the teleclass icon on the right-hand side or the tab, register right there, and then I hope you can join me. If for any reason you can't, then following the teleclass, there'll be an audio download available for purchase as well as a PDF. Also, I have just posted my January teleclass topic, which was high blood pressure. So again, if you're interested in purchasing the audio download or purchasing the printable PDF. It's 26 pages long on high blood pressure. Lots of information about how it's looked at, allopathic medicine, kind of the psychological components behind it, and then how I, as a medical intuitive, see it in the energy field, map it in the chakras, and then also the role your personality plays in increasing the predisposition for high blood pressure. I have a try before you buy feature, so you can just click on it, go to high blood pressure, then go in, listen to it, make sure it's something you want or to print it out. So again, both registering for the teleclass and then for the purchasing the high blood pressure downloads is www.ritberger.com. Well, you know, I really haven't had the chance to meet Lauren in physical space, but I have been able to touch her energetically. And she came very highly recommended by the owner of Circles of Wisdom Bookstore in Andover, Massachusetts. And it was interesting because when I touched Lauren's energy, the first thing that I found about her when I touched her energy, and she did give me permission, by the way, is that I found that we have a very happy, joyful person who really practices what she teaches. And in that process, very authentic, very pure. She was actually voted the best psychic in the New Hampshire magazine in 2009. She's really has quite a variety of intuitive skills, that psychic part. But the part that she appears that she said when I talked to her that she really enjoys the most is the mediumship. One of the things that happens is we get a little bit limited by putting ourselves in a category such as mediumship. Again, she's very well-rounded, very well-versed. But she shared, I had to chuckle when I got the email from her, because there was a common phrase and statement that she put in the write-up, and that's the fact that when she realized that she has this ability, it's not really something she really knew what to do with it, number one. And number two, she really wasn't very excited about the prospect of it because, like most people, we don't know what to do with it. So again, I think it's going to be a wonderful show. She's very well trained in many things. She's got many, many credentials and certifications, anywhere from Reiki to magnified healing to integrative energy therapy. She's a certified medium, and then this part I always get tickled with, a certified laughter yoga leader. Anyway, Lauren, thanks for joining me today, sweetie.
Oh, thank you for having me. This is wonderful.
It is. It is. So, you know, it was quite a journey for you, wasn't it?
Oh, my God. To get to this point, it's been blessed every step of the way. You know, every journey as we open and awaken has its trials and traumas, but at the end of it, there's always spirit guiding us. And I think, you know, through this whole journey, that's what amazes me every step of the way is when I doubt, they show up and you remember, why am I doubting?
Yeah, they're that kind of little dialogue box on the computer when you want to delete something. Are you sure you want to delete this?
Exactly. They
come in and they help us with that. Absolutely. Well, you know, it's interesting when you talk about spirit guides. You know, we have spirit guides kind of in form. These are the teachers that seem to come into our life, aren't they?
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
Then the other part of it is we have this entire support system on the other side. And, you know, I always feel a little funny when I say that, because what I'm really referring to is they just don't have a body. But this whole council that's always there to support us and to listen to us in the questions that we ask and to be able to assist us in finding the answers and everything. One of the things that I read in the bio that you sent me is that really that 2001 event of September 11th, that really changed so many people. But that was really a pivot point for you, wasn't it?
It was amazing. I mean, the timing, I was young. I was working my way, you know, just fresh out of college, starting a marketing career. I was doing well, and I got laid off the day before 9/11 happened. You know, and I previously, a few months before this experience, had just started to receive contact from spirit. So I was already in a space of questioning and confusion, what's going on with me? And then I get laid off, you know, the day before. You wake up the next morning realizing, okay, my life isn't so bad, you know. and it, and then within 3 days, I had a friend of mine call me and guide me to a Reiki teacher, master healer, who did a lot of meditation work. And I started my journey in meditation. I started, you know, meditating for the health of the planet at that time. So, and it just, you know, spirit took over from there.
You know, it is. And it really is something that, you know, we may not always understand the circumstances and the events that take place in the preparation process. You know, losing a job is pretty traumatic. But mm-hmm. then when you look back and you reflect on it, you can see that all of this was really part of that divine plan. It was part of what I'm sure that you already had as a gift inside that was just waiting for almost the right time or to get away from the busyness of the daily life to be able to do it and to be able to, you know, touch it from a different perspective, touch you, touch the other side. So one of the things that I am always asked is that, you know, how does the other side talk to us?
Well, it's a journey. That too is a journey. But it's different. I think, you know, I often teach in my classes with mediumship that, you know, each person's intuitive gift is like your fingerprint. It's just as unique as you are. And so, you know, for me, communication happens in many stages, from everything from literal mental visualization to actual physical sensations that all culminate into a message somehow, you know?
Exactly.
You know, and there are some, you know, when I teach that they may hear more, they may be more auditory and actually feel like they're really word for word communication is happening. And so it's really a practice. It's really, you know, and it's an mm-hmm. ongoing development. I'm sure, Carol, you understand too, as an intuitive, that every time we step into that intuitive space, you learn more and your gift develops more and it becomes clearer and stronger. So, you know, it's often teaching people to keep practicing and working this energy so that you can strengthen your intuitive muscle.
Absolutely. And, you know, so often when I do my work with in my classes and with people and everything, they see intuition and reaching this place where it's a destination. And you're so right. It's an ongoing journey. And the thing that I'm sure that you find fascinating, and I just am in awe of it all the time, is that I get the opportunity to learn with people sharing parts of themselves that is so pure, that is so mm-hmm. open and receptive. And it's kind of my reminder that, you know, this isn't a destination. It's an ongoing process. And when you're ready to learn and to expand your perceptions and to change your thinking, your teachers come. And those teachers can come in the form of gurus. They can come in the form of the clients that you talk to, can't they?
Absolutely.
Or don't they? Yeah.
You know, and it's funny because I have all of that in my life. I always am seeking, you know, to grow myself as a medium. I'm always seeking new teachers and the next step there. So even though I may teach, I'm always wanting to grow my own gifts so I can continue to grow myself as a teacher and as a messenger. But everything from the physical to letting your spirit teachers guide you and, you know, finding those gurus. And I always tell people to be open-minded to that, you know, I'm a big fan of experiencing and to taste all the different, you know, available forms of spiritual development out there, you know, to not just get pigeonholed into one, you know, mm-hmm. one development, but to allow yourself to experience all the different aspects that are out there. Some may resonate, some may not, but don't be afraid to, you know, throw away what doesn't resonate, but stick to what does so that you can, you know, expand yourself more.
Exactly. And, you know, the process of being a teacher is to basically share authentically what you know and mm-hmm. then share it in a way that your students will then be open and grow to the point where they'll seek other teachers. So this isn't really about being the only teacher with this. It's an evolutionary process. And that's one of the things I think is so well said, is the fact that intuition really is an evolutionary process, that you have to grow into it. And then when you grow into it and you think you finally have it mastered, then you grow into it some more. And then when you think you've gone there and you say, okay, well, then I'm going to be this, and then it goes over here. And so you're just kind of like, you know, chasing this process and everything. But if you do remain open to the fact, then you can start to see the subtleties of the lessons and the profoundness and the magnificence and the experience and so forth. And, you know, it is literally a process. And one of the things that I've learned is that not everyone, like you said, is auditory. A lot of times their intuition speaks to them, and those goosebumps and those, you know, shudders that they get, those chills that they get, whatever it may be. And then other people may get these images or these visions, or some people may even start to see patterns and to realize that these patterns mean something, whether they're numbers or an event or something. So it is an evolutionary process and one that we really have to just trust. And I was doing a talk the other day, and you mentioned it about self-doubt, is that really in reality, self-doubt is like a check and balance system. All that happens when we go into that self-doubt mode neurologically, and then also in our thoughts, is it's basically a place to take a pause and say, are you sure you really want to go here?
Right.
And it really isn't something that's designed to stop us. What stops us are those negative thoughts and those negative experiences and the attitudes we have around, you know, maybe not being intuitive enough or something, which, you know, power, we hear so much about thought, don't we?
Yeah.
It is the key. And, you know, we've heard so much that happens from the standpoint that you are what you think and what you think you become. And it is that cycle of thoughts and how they really can change our life. When you're going to be working with John and I, and you're going to be talking to all the people in the program itself, what are you going to be talking about as far as the power of thoughts in the mind?
Well, I think it's really about, you know, number one, a little bit of meditation training in there, and that we all need to bring this practice into our life, because if you can't quiet your mind, you're not going to be able to find the, if you struggle with negative thinking, you need to learn to slow the process down in your mind and find that quiet so that you can allow the truth and the positive energy to flow in. We often get spun up in our thinking, I find, and, you know, as one who, you know, has my own ADD or ADHD tendencies, I hate labels, but, you know, for lack of better definition, very active mind thought, I had to practice really hard to slow down the thinking so that I could feel positive energy, because I find that we spin our minds. So I want to talk about meditation and some simple techniques to teach people how easy it can be. I find that there's a lot of frustration in learning meditation in the world. Some, to me, feel like they express that it's a very complicated process. They can't seem to settle in. So it's teaching, you know, a gentler process to get yourself to that quiet thought. And then once you're there, it's mantra work. And I'm sure, you know, Carol, you've worked with it. You know, Louise Hay is famous for, you know, coming up with positive, you know, mantras and thinking to redesign how your mind works. And that's the reality. You can train your mind to be different. And that's what I want to talk about, is starting to train your mind to think in a healthy, positive manner and let it become a practice in your life.
Absolutely. And I'll tell you, I'm one of those people that, you know that I should meditate, and I've read a lot about it, and I do. But it's interesting, over the course of the evolution of it, when I first got into it, it was like, you know, you go through the process and get your body comfortable and do everything. And then I was supposed to go to this quiet place. Well, my brain doesn't shut down, and I could never get to that place. And I keep thinking, okay, well, I'm not doing something right. Maybe I'm not breathing the right way and everything. And then, of course, that keeps me into that process of thinking. And, you know, a couple hours later, my legs are numb. I couldn't get up. And I'm thinking, I've got to find a different way to do it. And so it is. It's literally training yourself. And for me, it is also starting in those short bursts and being able to just go in and to, you know, do those little snippets of quiet time where I actually can find quiet time in my brain as well. And, you know, that was such an epiphany for me. It's like, oh, I guess it really can be quiet. So, you know what I'd like to do is, if we can hold the thought on meditation, because I want to pick that up. There are your techniques and the simplicity of it were something that really intrigued me. But I've got Chris on line one who wants to connect with her mom. Are you ready for that?
Absolutely.
Okay. Hi, Chris from California. Hi, sweetie. Thanks for calling us.
Thank you.
You're welcome. So I'm going to pass this over to Lauren. So if you'd like to ask your question, then Lauren, you're on, sweetie.
Hi, Chris. How are you doing today?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing wonderful, honey. And I hear you want to connect with your mother.
Yes. I'd like to connect with my mom.
Awesome. And she is deceased, correct?
Yes.
Okay. Well, making sure we're going to the right side.
Okay.
And Chris, the only thing I ask at this time is her first name only.
Okay. Arlene.
Arlene. Okay. I'm already getting what feels like very strong. She's got a little in-between energy here. I usually start by describing a little bit of the personality, and I'm already getting a woman who can be affirmative. She kind of gently stamps her foot down when she wants to make a statement, but she actually overall has a very sweet and truly mothering personality. I'm getting what really feels like a very typical nurturing mother energy here for Arlene. Is that correct so far?
Yes.
Okay, I do get the sense, honey, that she had a little bit of struggle in illness before passing. She feels like she was strong for a bit of time now. So the illness movement, she's aware. I'm moving into the heart-lung area. It feels really heavy, a little fluid or congestion going on in this area. Does this make sense for Arlene?
Kind of.
Okay, I'll give you some more here. But I want to address before, like almost toward the end, before her passing, again, we're going into this fluid, you know, heaviness here. She's got some movement. I'm also feeling some sensations in the lower belly area, but I do get the impression, and let's validate here first to make sure that we've got her, that she was sick a bit of time before she passed. I'm not getting a sudden crossing here for her. Does this make sense?
Yes.
Okay, and she gives me almost, I have to tell you, honey, she's giving me this pleading sense of letting you know that she was very much okay. I'm getting that toward the end, either communication became really mixed up or confusing in some way. I'm kind of seeing what looks like eyes that are very big and almost like the eyes are trying to speak to you. Does this make sense at all?
Yes.
Okay, and so I feel like you're sitting here looking at her and you're reading her eyes and she says that you're not understanding it. Some, and don't take that negatively, but she's letting you know that she's okay. But I feel like she's seeing worry in your eyes, so she's kind of, you know, sending that back to you. Don't be worried, she's trying to let you know. I get the impression, Chris, that you were very strong in the presence of your mother toward the end for her. I feel like you're near her very often. Is this correct?
I tried to talk with her. Unfortunately, I live across the country from her. So.
Oh my goodness. Okay, well, you must be calling in and getting a strong sense there because she feels you with her often.
Good, okay.
Okay, so if you have worries there, she keeps saying, don't worry, everything's okay. She's got like this big don't worry sensation. So if you were worried that you weren't able to be there or see her, she's got the impression that you're very much there and she can feel and hear your energy, okay?
Okay.
So, Chris, I have another piece here for you. I want to say before illness, again, to me, more when you were a child here, she really feels like she has a very beautiful essence physically. She has a beautiful look about her. She feels like she's very well taken care of.
Yes.
She likes to look neat a lot. Does this make sense?
Absolutely.
Okay, like every hair feels like it's perfectly placed. She's
yes.
elegant. I want to say there's an elegance here.
100%, yes.
And, you know, there's almost a very creative expression of being a mom, too. I get the impression that she spent much time with you when you were little.
Yeah,
it feels
lot.
Like she, you know, was engaging. Does this make sense?
Absolutely, yeah.
Okay. So, and you're a mom now, too, as well. Is this correct?
Yes, I am. Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm seeing you with children, and she's saying you engage as well as she does with your children, and she loves this.
Oh, good.
Okay. So I want you to know she's there with a lot of love for you. She really was a truly beautiful and elegant woman.
She was. Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, she was awesome.
Awesome.
You know, isn't it absolutely fascinating and phenomenal, Chris, when you can have someone that can be that bridge, that can bring the words from the other side to the point where we can actually embody them and feel them? And you know, it just always is perfect when it happens exactly when it needs to, isn't it?
Yeah, it's really nice.
Great job, Lauren. Very good. Thank you, Chris. I appreciate you calling us, sweetie.
Thank you so much.
You are so welcome. All right, let's go ahead and let's jump in. I'm going to take one more call. This is Kim, another California person. Hi, Kim, line two. Hi, sweetie. How can we help you?
Well, mine wasn't. I had called to talk about a physical things that I'm dealing with. Can I ask a question about that?
Oh, absolutely. Lauren is going to be sharing all of her gifts, and I'm going to be sharing mine. So, absolutely. So, what would you like to know about that shoulder?
Well, I've had a knot in my right shoulder, and then, of course, I have sciatic issues in the right leg, and it seems like, and I'm very active, very athletic, I eat really healthy, and it seems like no matter what I do, it's just continually there. And I'm sure there's a lot of emotion and unprocessed stuff going on with that. And so I would love to get your input on what would be the best way of healing that.
Well, thank you for that. And, you know, you're not the only one that has all this emotional stuff that we're carrying around and everything. The primary issue that I'm finding that's tied to the shoulder and tied to the hips as well as muscles. And it feels to me while there is, I can pick up a couple of structural injuries in the spine itself, the one in the neck more so than the one in the lumbar part of the spine. But what I'm finding is a lot of the issue is that the muscles themselves seem to lock down in a specific way. And what they're trying to do is they're trying to protect the spinal cord itself so it doesn't become injured. The fact that both of the things that we're talking about is on the right side of the body, one of the indicators of that that I read as a medical intuitive is that you're always very focused on putting yourself out there. And what I mean by that is in the external world and really being engaged in the external world. And one of the things that may be that can help in the balancing of it is what Lauren's going to be talking about is a little bit about that quiet time, whether it's that little power meditation like I've learned to do, or it's the process, the ease of meditation, but every so often, honey, go back inside and touch your inner self. And what you'll do is you'll find that you've got a lot of things that you want to say, you want to bring forward and the outer world. There's people that you want to interact with. There's teaching that you want to do. You want to write. I can feel this inside of you. A lot of the shoulder energy that I get is the fact that you want to write. You want to express yourself. And when you don't, because you either get busy or, you know, life gets in the way or whatever happens to us as humans, then what will happen is it starts to lock us down. The area that I would encourage you to really work on to help the spine itself and the muscle structure is to go in and you would like to look at maybe some craniosacral work. You might want to look at acupuncture. You could do something with acupressure. You might want to look at non-force chiropractic, physical therapy, going and just speaking to someone about the stretching. But where you get locked down in your spine is in that thoracic plexus, which is in vertebrae, vertebrae 5, 6, and 7. And what it does is it locks down there, and then it's like your head turns one direction, sweetie, and then your hips try to compensate by turning the other direction, and that's what's putting the pressure on the sciatic nerve. There's an old injury, probably somewhere around 11 or 12 years old, that actually caused that cervical part, that neck part of the spine, to become injured. And in that process, at the time of that injury, those muscles remember what they are supposed to do, and they lock down to try to protect you. When you get caught in situations where it's the same feeling emotionally, where maybe you're out of sorts, you're out of step, you're not sure which direction to go, I can feel that upper shoulder muscle lock down, locks down on that vertebrae in the cervical spine, which is, by the way, cervical vertebrae 6, locks down, changes the peripheral nerves, the activity, the muscle activity, muscles get tight, lower hip gets tight, locks up the right side of the body, and then that sciatic nerve gets compressed. So, long story short, take a big deep breath for you. So, here we go. So the main thing is muscles. We hold in our muscles emotions. In the lower back, we hold deep-seated resentment. The right side of the body, the right shoulder, we hold grief or guilt. If any of those emotions are something that you can relate to, then what you can do is just go in and do some visualization, come up with some affirmations, go into that quiet space to be able to do this. And what you want to do is you just want to do a little emotional liposuction. You want to see those muscles softening, becoming fluid, melting the hardness within them. Life is not hard. You are able to move forward the way that you desire. Maybe where you've been moving forward isn't really in alignment with you. And so there's some things that you can work on there as well. Craniosacral will work with that thoracic plexus. It will work with the cranial nerve number 10, the vagus nerve. And what that will do is that will allow the chi to flow. It'll animate the nerves in that part of the body, the digestive system, the heart, the lungs, the whole muscle structure in the center of the back. And that will give you what you're looking for, sweetie. Then your right hip just said to me, don't forget to tell her about ice packs, Carol. Do you use ice packs, sweetie?
Yeah.
Okay. So what you want is that'll help your body release an endorphin that's about the equivalent of 1,200 milligrams of ibuprofen. One of the best things I think you could do is to literally look at acupuncture or look at cranial sacral. I think that could help you tremendously.
Okay. Is my exercising making it worse?
Yes and no. Excuse me for that wonderful thing that Carol Reitberger always does. Yes, what it's doing is it's aggravating the old injury that I pick up, and it's putting pressure on the vertebrae itself. The no part of it was, is if you don't move, honey, you're not going to move.
Okay.
So from the exercise, from the movement of the exercise and the stretching, absolutely phenomenal. In fact, I just, you know, it's just like Lauren just sent me a message here that we were picking up. When we go into the next part of the show, we're going to talk about laughter yoga. I don't know why that just popped in. And it's like, oh, we're going to need to talk about laughter yoga. That may be a way for those emotions to just kind of come forward. And then also the yoga, the mindfulness, the stretching, the fun, the joy, the gaiety about it, that may help you. So absolutely, Kim. So I think in the second segment, you're going to find out some more information that you can use.
Okay. Well, thank you very much.
You are so welcome. All right. So, Lauren, let's go ahead and take a quick commercial break. We'll be right back. Thanks for joining me. My special guest is Lauren Rainbow. We're going to be talking more about laughter and positive thoughts and meditation. Stay tuned.
How would you like to learn the hidden meanings behind illness and see how a medical intuitive views illness? You can by joining medical intuitive Carol Reitberger each month on her teleclass series, Your Health. Each month, she'll be featuring a different health issue and sharing the contributors behind it. You can register online at www.reitberger.com. That's www.reitberger.com.
Did you know that you can rate this show on iTunes? The show you're listening to right now. It's true. You can leave your thoughts about the show, the topic, the guest. You can even leave a suggestion. Then, before you leave, rate the show. The hosts love hearing from you, so next time you download this show from iTunes, leave your thoughts and rate the show for the host and for others.
Have you ever wanted to talk with a medical intuitive to uncover the hidden meanings behind your aches, pains, and illnesses? Now you can. Internationally renowned medical intuitive Carol Reitberger is now offering personal and health-related readings. Discover your soul's purpose. Learn about the soul and the pre-birth agreements that you have with the people in your life. Readings can be booked online at www.reitberger.com. An hour with Carol can be life-changing.
If you have a question for Carol, call her now, toll-free at 1-877-230-3062.
Well, welcome back. If you're just joining me today, I have a very special guest, Lauren Rainbow, a gifted psychic medium who was also voted the best psychic for 2009 in the New Hampshire magazine. I have to keep saying that because I'm just so amazed by that. And I think what a wonderful way to be able to introduce someone into the work that Lauren does. Not only is she a psychic medium, she has a tremendous amount of intuitive skills that can be used in a variety of directions. Lauren is going to be doing a workshop with John Holland and myself in Andover, Massachusetts, April 9th. We're going to be talking about finding your way, intuitive messages from the mind, body, and spirit. Lauren is going to be sharing insights into the working of the mind and the power of positive thinking about meditation and how important that is. She touched on that a little bit in the first segment. We're going to talk about it more in this particular segment. And then what John is going to be doing is he's going to be revealing how we're linked to spirit and how the we can use the messages that our spirit guides send us, and then also how the other side does connect with us. And then I'm going to be sharing how, as a medical intuitive, your body can speak to you and how you can interpret the messages of the body so you can find your own way to use it pretty much as a barometer to let you know when you're on your path or when you've taken a detour or when you just feel like you're stuck. So again, it's going to be a very insightful, impactful day, lots of information, very transformational in the work that's going to be done individually and collectively. So if you are interested in attending the event April 9th in Andover, Massachusetts, you can go to my website, www.ritberger.com. I have it under the one What's New section and then also the icon. Off to the right, just click on it and then register. It will be a very fun-filled date. Now, Lauren, I know, sweetie, that you've got this also posted on your website. So before we get into the show and we're deeper into it, would you tell people how they can learn more about you and get in touch with you, please?
Oh, absolutely. You can find all about me at my website, which is laurensrainbow.com. So it's laurensrainbow.com.
Very good. And so Lauren is, you know, you can learn more about her and all of her gifts and her story and how she, you know, kind of, I'm sure at times felt like she was being pushed and nudged and kicked in the bottom sometimes to get where she, you know, really wanted to go in the first place. We always seem to forget that, don't we, Lauren?
Yes.
I mean, I had to die in order for me to remember. It's like, hello, is that a little extreme or what?
Yeah,
but anyway, it should be a lot of fun. So we were talking about meditation and the importance of meditation. So why don't you share some things with us that, you know, I'm listening. I really need some help.
Well, you know, I think meditation, the first thing that is very daunting is people feel like you need to achieve quiet mind space right away. And if you're not there, then you're not meditating. And, you know, I often teach people my process to really learn a true deep space of meditation was practice. And I started with 5 minutes a day. If you try to sit down for a half an hour, and you try to perfect it the first time around, you will get frustrated and you will walk away. So to take 5 minutes a day to just sit in quiet and get used to let your body get used to that. It takes a few days for your body alone to just shuffle and shake out of its frustration and settle. So if you are knowledgeable of knowing that it's going to take a day or two for your body to relax itself into meditation and then the rest comes naturally from there, understand that and it'll make that easier. But start with 5 minutes for, you know, a few days, and as you get comfortable, add 10, you know, add another 5 minutes, make it 10, 15, 20, and then next thing you know, you can sit for half an hour and it's going by like the snap of a finger. So time is important, you know, in shortening that as a practice. And as simple as this may sound, and it's almost unbelievable, is focus on your breath. So you sit down to meditate for 5 minutes. The only thing to train your mind to be quiet, you need to focus on your breathing. And that's literally following it through your body as you breathe in, as you exhale. And when your mind wanders and you go, oh, my God, I got to go grocery shopping. I need to pick up hamburg. I need to, you know, you start listing off all the things you need to do. Catch your thoughts. And then bring it back to your breathing. And so if you're willing to work with that as a simple practice, 5 minutes a day, and just simply training yourself to follow your breath, catch your thought when it wanders and bring it back, even if you have to do it a few times, it's okay. And eventually your mind settles in and it will relax into the peace of meditation. That's kind of like a really easy, simple beginning process. It will take a few, you know, times of practice, but once you get there, and you start to breathe, you're going to feel your body relax and that quiet settle in like the snap of a finger.
Absolutely. And again, I mean, any of us can find 5 minutes a day or multiple 5 minutes a day to be able to do that. But from a health standpoint, we've found so much research that supports mm-hmm. that even those short meditation breaks has such a profound impact on being able to detox the body, support the immune system, and get us back in our skin, as I call. So that's easy. I can do that, Lauren. Thank you, sweetie. All right.
You're welcome. Well, it's easy to do, too. When you're running through the day, you're moving through the office, and you've got 500 things, and your boss hits you with a decision that you need to do now, and you're going, what? Stop.
Exactly.
Breathe. You know, go find, sit in your office, shut the door for 5 minutes, and if you just sit for 5 minutes, you will get you know, it's proven that your mind will center, you can make better decisions, you can move through your work faster than rushing and letting your mind spin. It's really something I've had to do in a lot of my jobs in the past, so it makes a big difference.
Well, absolutely. And the other thing is it can start to reprogram your body to not react in that fight or flight to the extremes mm-hmm. where it reads everything as World War III, and then we get in that chemical chaos. So, again, just 5 minutes to start. Very, very simple. What I'd like to do is let's jump in and take Cindy from Canada. Hi, Cindy.
Hello.
Hello. Thanks for calling us. How can we help you?
I'm not sure what question to ask about my health or if she wants to connect with my dad.
You know what? Why don't you go to your heart, take a deep breath, go to your heart, let your heart tell you, and then you can ask it.
Okay. I guess I'll ask about my health for now.
Good.
What happened was a few years ago I had two cysts on my left side of my ovary. Mm-hmm. And they took out the left ovary. However, I'm still having pain during sex. So a couple of months ago, they went in and they did a laparoscopy mm-hmm. where they kind of go in through your belly button and make it kind of big like a balloon to find out what's wrong.
Exactly.
And I haven't gone to the doctor yet to find out what's happening, but when she was doing a pap smear, she did tell me that my uterus is a bit tilted. So that
is
part of it.
It is. Exactly. It is actually. Yes, it is.
Okay. So I just want to know, once all this is all done and they do fix the tilted uterus or anything else that's going on, mm-hmm. will it get better?
It will.
Will I stop having, it won't?
It will.
Oh, it will? Okay.
It will.
Okay. That's good.
Hey! It will.
So there the will pain be during some sex that'll all go away.
It will. And there's a couple of things that can help in that process. And the first thing is the tip in the uterus can also changes the position of the cervix. So in the intercourse situation, when we have that little bit of a tilt, then sometimes we can get some abrasions, we can get some discomfort in that particular part of the body. Anytime that we have any kind of hormonal changes, which could be cyst or removing of ovary, whatever it may be, what that does is that changes the dynamics of the uterus itself, the cervix, the natural lubrication that we have in the physical body. So what you can do from the sexual standpoint is that you can find a good water-based lubricant that you would be able to use. And the reason for that is that the whole vaginal area will absorb the moisture itself. It makes it more supple. It makes it easier, more pliable. You know, it doesn't get as hard as it can when we don't have that flow of the dynamics of estrogen or progesterone the way that we need to. So you can look at doing something like that. There's some wonderful products. You can ask your doctor about products as well. Again, water-based is very, very important. The other thing that you can do is talk to your doctor about looking at maybe some topical cream. Some doctors will use estradiol. Some doctors will look at using a wild jam, something that is progesterone-based. What that will do is that will also increase the suppleness of the vaginal area as well. And then what you can also do is that there's things like Replenz or Refresh. And again, I don't get any compensation from any companies. I just know from experience working with doctors. If you can work with a pH in the vaginal area, which Refresh does, is then that can help it as well. So from the standpoint of the actual pain itself, then you can use it through the lubricants. And my sense is, honey, is that you're just dry from the changes that have happened with the removal of things. Then you have the tip uterus. The cervix, again, accommodates that to some degree, and that's what you're dealing with. My sense is if we can get you on the right topical cream to be able to add to the estrogen that you're missing, that's a natural part of our female lubricant, that can help you. And then if you look at other things that you can do, that can help as well. One of the things also is, excuse me, I don't want to get really, really personal, but it just popped in and I need to say it. If in the process you're using any kind of condom or any kind of rings or anything like that, anything that has a latex base to it, you've got a sensitivity to latex, sweetie. Has anybody ever told you that?
No. Well, actually, I'm married, so I don't really use condoms.
Okay. Okay. So why don't you just think about if you use any kind of enhancers or he does in order to be able to deal with anything, to be able to keep the erection up. I'm just kind of going in. I can't really go into a space because I don't really have permission, but I'm just kind of going there a little bit on it. But that's something you might look at. Those are some things that you can do. They are things that you can start right away. They can help you, fix the problem to begin with.
Estrogen creams and stuff, they're okay to, like, I'm only 42. I'm not going through menopause, so that'd be okay then to use that kind of stuff?
Well, talk to your doctor about it, absolutely. You are a perimenopause, sweetie.
Ooh.
You do have hormonal changes that started at 39 years old.
Yes, because I get my period almost twice a month now.
Yeah.
So.
Wow. Yeah. So you're already into that process, that female process, where your hormones are trying to figure out what it is, and then the other things that you've had done are trying to figure out what it is, and you're just not getting enough of that message from the pituitary and the ovaries to say, to create that lubricant that we need in order to have comfortable intercourse.
Okay, so should I tell my gynecologist that I might be perimenopausal?
Absolutely.
She just told me to go on the birth control pills to kind of regulate it, so I just get it once a month.
Well, and that's what she's doing. I mean, you know, she's really doing what estradiol or some of the other topical creams will do, is she's putting you on the birth control pills to get that estrogen, progesterone dynamics back where it needs to. That will increase, again, the lubrication that we need as females to be comfortable in the process of intercourse. So that is a very, very effective way that she's approached.
Okay.
So, and then what I would do then is just look for different kind of lubricants that are water-based that, you know, that you can use. And if you're not sure, then ask her about them. And the reason I picked up the latex as well is you don't want to use any kind of lubricant that has a petroleum or a wax base to it. I think that's where I was picking up a lot of the latex allergy as well. So,
okay. Thanks
for calling. I really appreciate it, Cindy.
Thank you.
Okay. Lauren Hun, sorry, I just wanted to move along with that. I have one call we just want to do, and this is Jeannie from British Columbia. She has a question about Glenn, her friend, who has passed on to the other side. Hi, Jeannie.
Hi, Carol. So nice to talk to you again.
You too, sweetie. So Lauren is here to answer your question.
Lauren, I had a dear old friend named Glenn who passed away in December.
Okay.
And he had strong Christian beliefs and believed he'd just go into the ground and wait for the resurrection.
Oh, I think he's found a new theory.
Well, I had a dream, and I wondered. It kind of indicated possibility, so I wanted to ask you about that.
Well, you know, and it's interesting because what I'm already sensing from him, you know, it says he was kind of headstrong, but I'm already getting somebody who felt, you know, actually quite happy and joyful at times. I get him to be quite an uplifting person. Does that make sense for his personality?
Absolutely.
Okay, yeah, because sometimes my own logical mind wants to go, oh, you know, religious, strict, but I'm getting somebody who's got a hearty laugh about them. You know, he's a little bit of a jokester, actually. I feel like he's very quick and witty.
Absolutely.
You know, he feels pretty young here, my dear. He's got a handsome energy about him, a little charm, I should say.
Yep.
A little twinkle in your eye, a little, you know, cocky smile as the corner of his cheek cocks up to the side a little bit.
You bet.
You can tell he's kind of thinking of something here. He seems to have actually also a very piercing look about him when he wants to. Very intelligent man.
Yes.
And when he wants to speak, he speaks very eloquently. You can tell he was well-educated, or there's that sense of really powerful knowledge about him. Okay?
Yep, you've got him.
Okay, now I also get, he's a family man, he's a father as well?
Yes.
Okay, because family, I want to say slightly a good-sized family here, or he embraces a lot of people, and there's a lot of people that surround him in the family category. He also feels very strong. I get like a muscle energy in his arm, or a sense of strength. You know, he feels like he could be very strong physically. Now, the passing is a little, I'm getting a sense that this is very quick or unexpected on so many levels for Glenn. Does this make sense?
For Glenn, yes.
Okay. There seems to be, I'm stumbling a little bit here because he suddenly switched his, he's saying there wasn't enough time to prepare or some things were left incomplete or undone in some way. Does this make sense?
He wanted to tie up every single last detail before he left, and he didn't get the chance.
He's almost panicking about this, though. Sense of, oh, my God, I didn't get this done. So, you know, there's a sense of dedication to his life. And he was married at the time of his passing. Is this correct?
No.
Okay. I'm getting, there's an energy of love here, my dear. So if he doesn't have a partner, or if it's not marriage, I'm getting a love here. There's love in his life.
There were a few women that, maybe one in particular, maybe Allison, who he was strongly attached to.
Okay, yeah, I'm going to put this out there if I can. I'm feeling a really powerful love between somebody and him, and this woman is very understanding. I'm getting the impression you know this person, that you know who this is, that you actually should know this person somewhat well. Does this make sense at all?
Would it be myself, Lauren?
I would definitely say, I was going to ask if it was you. I didn't want to make any assumptions.
Friends, and we understood each other.
The love he has for you, honey, is really very genuine. It's almost a little beyond romantic, and you know, there's a deeper understanding, and it's very personal. I see deep conversation.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, he just really appreciated your ability to have such deep, centered conversation, such honesty with him. I can't thank you enough on his behalf for being that person. And he says you kick his butt sometimes.
Yeah.
You know, you were good at nudging him to step forward.
Good, good. Yeah.
Okay. Huh?
Wow, he sounds like quite a person there, Jeannie.
Oh, he's an amazing man. And just a wealth of friends through his lifetime. He's been quite something.
Yeah. Oh, well, he's definitely still with you, my friend, and I think he knows now that he's beyond just being in the ground.
I'm so glad to hear that. He can keep having fun then.
Absolutely.
Oh, absolutely wonderful, wonderful. Well, Lauren, we've just kind of run out of time. We've just had so darn much fun.
Thank you so much.
You are so welcome, Jeannie.
Much.
Thanks for calling us. So can you just, I hate to put you on the spot, we've got about 4 minutes. Can you just give us one thing that we can hang on to about laughter yoga? I am just so curious about this.
Well, laughter yoga, I can sum up pretty quickly. It is the practice of laughing, and it's important that we have it. I think in society, and I'm sure, Carol, you can see this, we've lost our laughter. I think, you know, humor is missing, you know, and so bringing it into your life, practicing laughing, watch a comedy. You know, laughter yoga isn't necessarily about, you know, doing specific yoga poses and laughing at the same time. It's more of an interactive process of getting a bunch of people together and just, you know, triggering that sense of laughter. There's also a fake it till you make it kind of concept that sometimes you may have to force it at first, but then you naturally break into a space of genuine laughter. So it's really important to, you know, Norm Cousins, I think, has done a lot of, you know, way back when did some studies on the healing power of laughter. And it's also important because it changes the chemistry in your brain, gets those positive neurons going, and brings about a healthier space of mind. So the only way to really enforce a lot of positive thinking in your life is to find your sense of humor at the same time.
Absolutely. There was a fascinating study done several years ago from doing the study on the laughter of adults and children. Mm-hmm. And they found that children laugh 400 to 500 times a day. And adults, if they're really lucky, are 17 times a day.
Isn't that amazing?
It is amazing. And, you know, it's such a natural part of our spirit is to be able to find that joy. I will share so many times with my students and people that I'm working with and everything. You know, the soul never becomes cynical or jaded or wounded like the emotional child that we talk about. All it sees is joy, laughter, and happiness.
Yeah.
And that's really what we're all about. And, you know, I've also found that when we are able to touch the spirit guides and to touch the people in our own lives, lives that have passed at that place of knowing, we find that, you know, they aren't bitter or they aren't unhappy about where they are. They're very much at peace. There's a lot of laughter on that side as well. The only difference is that we don't have the human brain or the physical body to be able to literally hear it, but it is there vibrationally, isn't it?
It's absolutely there, and it's always amazing, too, that spirit comes in from the other side. Glenn, this last gentleman who was an example, was literally just still up there going, ha, 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 you know? You can hear that in my head, and it's just, it reminds me so much when I get into mediumship mode that they're happier, and they're almost laughing more than we are. And, you know, I think that laughter is the sound of our soul expressing joy. I've always kind of felt that. And so if you think you're joyful and you're not laughing, then maybe you need to think about how to get that laughter in your life more.
Absolutely. Maybe we ought to end the show by saying maybe we ought to shift the perception around cosmic sense of humor. Maybe it isn't that they're laughing at us. Maybe they're trying to teach us to laugh ourselves.
Absolutely.
So, Lauren, just wonderful. If you would like to spend more time with Lauren and I and John Holland, please do plan to come to the event in Andover, Massachusetts on April 9th. Lauren, it's been a delight, honey. I'm really looking forward to meeting you in person. I've enjoyed sharing your vibration. Thanks for joining me today. And all of you, thank you for joining me today. I hope you found the show enlightening and valuable, and I'm going to see you next Wednesday on the radio. Have a wonderful week.
You've been listening to The Carol Rideberger Show. Join Carol next week and every week at 10 a.m. Pacific Time on ContactTalkRadio.com. To contact Carol, visit her website at www.rideberger.com. That's www.riteberger.com. See you soon.